being with us here today. Thank you, Lord, for being that rose of Sharon. Just pray that you would bloom in our hearts today, Lord. Help us that we could let your character grow in our lives. Just ask you that you would be with this service today and be with this time of listening to your word. We just pray that we could all be edified and encouraged. Pray that everyone could receive what they need from you. Just pray that everyone could have a good soil and a good heart, a true and honest heart. Just pray that you would encourage us all from your word today in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to extend a welcome to each one. It's good to see the house pretty full. And I want to welcome you to join in with us as we see what God would have for us today. Why don't you open your Bibles to Acts chapter 13. We're going to endeavor to look at the life of Apostle Paul, see if we can get some encouragement and some challenges from his life. Acts 13, we're going to read a small portion here, breaking into the middle of his story here, and then we're going to back up and look at some more, the beginnings, and on down through. After I read this, I'll be giving a little more introduction. Acts chapter 13. Verse 1, now there were at the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, which is called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they also had John to their minister. And when they were gone, had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Paul and Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eye on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness. And he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. And the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. What a story here in the life of Paul. And just, I'm trying to imagine how that scenario was. There was a major conflict of spiritual powers going on, and the Lord was on the winning side. So that gives us a little window into Paul's ministry as it began there. But I'm going to back up and give a little introduction for some of my reasons for sharing. the reasons for this message is to, for my own self, just simply to study the life of Paul. And he's a very prominent figure in the New Testament. Another desire is to see how, even though he was a great apostle and a great preacher, he still was facing the very common things that we do. We think of him as this great apostle of Jesus Christ, and yet, as we will see later on, he faced painfulness, and he faced hardships, and he faced all kinds of things we've never even faced. Another desire is to see how Paul harnessed the grace of God in his life and was able to go through extreme difficulty, trouble, and opposition and be an overcomer. There's a place that Paul had his thorn in the flesh, and he asked the Lord three times to remove it. God said, "My grace is sufficient for you." My desire is to look into the life of Apostle Paul and get encouragement that we can also live wholeheartedly for Jesus in our generation. The name, his original name that we read of is Saul, which is the Hebrew word for Paul. According to what I looked some things up, Paul would be a Roman name or a Greek name. So it's basically, you know, same person, but it would be the Jewish people would have more had it in from their side to call him Saul, and the Greeks or Romans, Paul. Saul is mentioned 22 times. Paul is mentioned 157 times in the New Testament. 112 times in the New Testament are in the book of Acts. So a great majority of the times Paul's name is mentioned is in the book of Acts. Paul wrote around half of the New Testament books. Probably not content, but the amount of books. It is a controversy whether he wrote the book of Hebrews or not. That would be the 14th book if he would have written it, which I read a little bit on that. It's fairly commonly accepted that he did write Hebrews, but it still can be a debated subject. Paul in Greek is pronounced Paulus, or the meaning of it is little. The name of a Roman and of an apostle. It appears like Paul was a Greek or Roman name given to the man we are talking about. Now I'm going to give a little bit of an overview of the message. First, we're going to look a little more at Paul as a person, who he was, where he came from, what his pedigree was. And we're going to look, secondly, at how he begins his epistles. I just thought it was interesting to read the first verse of all the epistles he wrote. Thirdly, we're going to look at some notable happenings in the life of Paul. And fourthly, we're going to see what we can learn from his life and his example. Okay, if you want to turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 22, there's a couple verses I want to read there as we start to look a little more into who he was. Acts 22, verse 3, he says, "I am verily a man, which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day." That gives us a little bit beginning background of him. And I had a dictionary that I was going to bring along, the the Davis Bible Dictionary and read some of his, but I forgot it anyway. From what I read in there, it appears like he came from a pretty high-class line, very closely tied with the high Pharisees, and we can see more of that in Philippians, where he gives his pedigree there. He says in chapter 3 of Philippians, let me see where that is. Yes, verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinks that he has whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. He was the perfect Pharisee. It appears like he was had come to a great degree of perfection in the Pharisee way of living. But he did not know Christ. He was glorying in his flesh. So that's Paul. That's the old Paul. Now let's turn over to Acts chapter 7, where we first meet Paul. Acts chapter 7, we have the story of Stephen, the first to be martyred, stoned for his faith. Acts 7, 58. It's talking about what they did with Stephen, and cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he said this, he fell asleep. Chapter 8. And Saul was consenting unto his death. A few verses down, verse 3, and as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. We start out with Paul. He's a Christian killer, but he does it with a good conscience. What an interesting thing. We will read some of those verses later, but he was totally sincere in what he was doing, and later it says he did it ignorantly in unbelief. He did not, his eyes were not open to the truth, but he was just taking great pleasure in putting people in prison for their faith, and the people were scattered abroad, preaching the word, down to chapter 9. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he might found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And we know the story. He goes into the city, and instead of capturing and killing the people down at Damascus, he spent 3 days blind, waiting on the Lord. It appears like he was waiting 3 days. Didn't eat, didn't drink, couldn't see anything. And all of a sudden, the Lord speaks to this man named Ananias down in verse 10. He says to Ananias, "Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Saul, of Judas, for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight." Verse 17, "And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened." 3 days without eating or drinking, that would make you pretty weak. "He ate some food, was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God." What a major change came upon Saul. He changed very rapidly from a Christian killer to people trying to kill him. Isn't that amazing? And we'll read down a little further here. There was two times in the same chapter where people tried to kill him. Verse 21, "But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem, came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound to the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwell at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And he knew the law and the prophets," just like the back of his hand. He knew the prophecies. He knew it. And just when the light bulb turned on, he just was passionate about Christ. 23, "And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying away it was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. And the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem, and he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians. But they went about to slay him, which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord, and the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied." That's the conversion of Apostle Paul. Christian killer to Jesus preacher. Amen. And so it says later in one of his testimonies that the Lord showed him how many things he's going to need to suffer for the name of Jesus. We'll see that as we go on here. Now, on a second point here, let's leave that for a moment, and let's look at how Apostle Paul begins his epistles, beginning with the book of Romans. Romans 1, verse 1 says, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God." The word apostle...